Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Stephen. So, U.S. markets will be closed today, but still a big week for the States. We've got the inauguration of President Donald Trump on January 20th. Stephen, what sort of clues are you hoping to get from his speech this Friday?
Yes, good morning, Han. Thanks for having me on today. I guess we have to take our lead from President Trump's comments last Wednesday, where dealers' appetite since then for the U.S. dollar has ebbed as the U.S. Treasury yields have traded with a softer bias. Now, as you mentioned, we're going to be focusing on the inauguration and also the State of the Union. So in my view, this offers the ideal platform to present its plans for massive infrastructure spend and make mention of tax reform. You know, if we look at last week post-Trump's presser, there's been a lot of bloodletting, and it's been quite cruel at times. But now that the long U.S. dollar positions have been neatly trimmed, I think there's opportunity here. I think traders will be cautiously adding on to these their dollar long positions leading up to the referendum speech and hope that he will make mention of the massive fiscal spend that the market's been trading off of for the past couple of months.
Now, if this fuels another rally in the greenback, do you see this being another sustained one, or would it be short-lived given how much the greenback has gained over the last few months?
Well, my view is if the infrastructure spend comes out anywhere near the magnitude that was proposed during Trump's campaign rhetoric, I think the U.S. dollar will accelerate much, much higher. I think that we could be looking at gains of anywhere between 8 and 10% on the greenback, as there's going to be a considerable repricing on the Federal Reserve Board interest rate curve that will support that dollar view, but also the inflationary impact of such a massive, massive infrastructure spend, will force the Fed's hand. And they'll just have to push interest rates higher. And I think in this environment right now, where the trend is outside of the U.S. to keep interest rates on hold somewhat, I think the U.S. dollar will carry its weight in gold going forward into 2017.
Now, you raise an interesting point because it seems that more U.S. fiscal spend will then weigh heavily on the Fed's stance on interest rates. So you have told us on this program before that monetary policy divergence specifically is expected to be the main factor for currencies this year. So post-January 20th, if these fiscal spending pledges do crystallize, what are some of the risks to that view? Couldn't more U.S. fiscal spend be the main driving factor for currencies this year?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, and I've been looking at that issue, particularly on with currencies that are benefiting from the commodity prices, which obviously commodities should get a bounce also based on this infrastructure spend. So if we use the Australia dollar, for instance, despite the fact that Aussie and U.S. interest rates, appear to be narrowing, the Australia dollar is still doing relatively well because of the surging iron ore prices. I think this is going to. I think how we have to look at at this trade as a little bit outside the box here. I think we have to divorce ourselves from straight plays against the U.S. On commodity currencies, as there'd be a lot of back and forth action. But I think on these currencies that are actually very sensitive to commodity prices, we have to look at getting exposure versus currencies such as the pound, the yen, and the euro, even the euro. I think this would be a better opportunity. And taking the negatives from this interest rate divergence out of the equation against the U.S. dollar.
Now, switching our sights to the to Europe, on Tuesday, January 17th, UK Prime Minister Theresa May set to make a speech, perhaps detailing plans of a hard Brexit. Now, over the weekend, the pound has already fallen 1.6% against the greenback. What's your take on all these movements? Are there positions to be had between now and the speech on Tuesday?
And needless to say, the pound and the Brexit should be a considerable focus this week, leading up to Prime Minister May's speech on Tuesday. Most of the reaction this morning has been centered on the pound after those media reports in the weekend suggested that Theresa May signal a hard Brexit. And it's quite drastic. I mean, what's on the table right now is, giving up a trade with Europe, free trade with Europe, in exchange for curbing immigration. Very, very drastic measures. Now, this process is likely to be a messy affair. We're still waiting for the High Court ruling on Article 50, yet to be announced, and we're seeing a political upheaval occur in Northern Ireland. So it's going to definitely be a messy situation in the UK. But if we have to look at things objectively here, negotiations of this size and stature, they generally involve some element of bluff to ensure, that the UK would get the best possible deal. So perhaps this is just a little bit of grandstanding that we're seeing right now. So we actually have to wait for confirmation from May on Tuesday to hear these words out of her mouth, as opposed to running on media speculation at this point. One of the other factors we're always concerned about these moves in early Asia is that liquidity tends to be a little bit thin on the pound, especially as we've witnessed in the past when we had the flash crash that occurred in Asia time zone. So we have to be a little bit guarded about the extent of these moves in low liquidity. I think we're going to wait until London comes in to see how they're going to react to this, and that should give us a clear direction on the pound bias for the early stages of this week.
And if I may borrow your phrase, this messy situation could last for, 2 years, depending on when they trigger the Brexit talks. Now, that's on the pound side, though, but how would all this feed into your stance on the euro? Also noting that political risk will be a key theme for the EU this year.
Yeah, that's another interesting situation. I mean, it's just a messy situation all around, and also significantly, we have the ECB that's coming out this week, and I think that'll also be a center of attention. But I think hit the nail on the head here with the political risk in Europe, and I think this is a predominantly overriding factor. Although we've seen a little bit of inflation pick up in Europe, and the macro conditions are looking a little bit better than the last time we spoke about this in December. I think that Draghi will continue to downplay in favor of pointing out the political risks that are emanating out of Europe. And, if we look at some of the credit agencies, one of the Canadian credit agencies, DBRS, downgraded Italy or late last week, and I think this is a sign of the times in Europe where this political risk and risk in the banking sector is going to still dominate much of investors' decision-making process. So yeah, I think the Brexit doesn't help them out. I think it actually adds another level of anxiety towards for the ECB and how they're going to measure themselves through this mess.
And speaking about the decision-making process, let's just bring things down to the local front here real quick. Bank Negara Malaysia set to decide on the benchmark interest rate this Thursday, January 19th. Any chance of a move in the overnight policy rate there, you think?
Well, I don't think we're going to see any moves at this time. This is not to say a possible interest rate cut will not be in the offing at some point in the summertime. I think if we just look at other local regional Asian central banks, for instance, the Bank of Korea, they decided to hold hold interest rates. I think there's a lot of uncertainties in the market right now. I think in Bank Negara's part, I don't think they want to drop interest rates, as it may be an unwelcome shock to the currency that they're currently struggling with. So I think at this juncture, until there's more stability in the capital markets in Malaysia, I think they're likely err on the side of keeping rates as they are right now.
Thank you for your time and insights there, Stephen. And that was Stephen Innes, Senior Asia Pacific FX Trader with Owanda.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.